For much of the last decade, Libya has been defined by a gruesome irony. It has two governments, but a distinct lack of governance. In recent days, there have been indications that one of Libya's two governments is intent upon resolving this contradiction. The veteran warlord, General Khalifa Haftar, who is more or less in charge of the regime based in the eastern city of Tobruk, has ordered his forces to move on Tripoli, Libya's capital, and home of the Government of National Accord led by Prime Minister Fayez Sarraj and recognised by the international community as legitimate. It is not clear whether Haftar and his militia, who prefer to call themselves the Libyan National Army, possess the wherewithal to take Tripoli, or even whether they're seriously interested in trying. It may just be an attempt by Haftar to assert himself ahead of a UN-sponsored conference on national reconciliation scheduled to take place in Libya next week, either to make himself seem entitled to a bigger slice of any carve-up, or to disrupt the talks entirely. Libya's current woes are a product of Libya's previous woes. In 2011, amid the tumult of the Arab Spring, Libya's long-dictating despot, the sinister and ridiculous Muammar al-Gaddafi, was overthrown and murdered. He had ruled Libya for 42 years, since seizing power in a coup d'état in 1969, and there seemed little reason to mourn his passing. Gaddafi was a thug, a crook, obviously quite mad, and had ruined a country which had and has every reason to be prosperous. Libya possesses at least the world's ninth largest proven oil reserves, presides over 1,700 kilometres of glorious Mediterranean coastline, and has a smaller population than London. Gaddafi had, however, sufficient wits about him to have successfully played the confidence trick that tyrants often do upon the democracies that agree to either support them or ignore them. He implicitly proposed that, terrible though he was, whatever might follow him would be worse, and then used his power to create the domestic conditions that ensured that this would indeed be the case. Gaddafi's Libya was very much Gaddafi's Libya. No opposition, no independent institutions, little in the way of civil society, and a people too terrified, in the direct experience of this reporter, to speak their leader's name. As Gaddafi's regime collapsed in 2011, the outside world intervened. A NATO mission authorised by the UN Security Council has been much criticised for failing to establish order, but that wasn't what it was designed to do. Operation Unified Protector was an air mission which imposed a no-fly zone over Libya and targeted forces loyal to Gaddafi to protect civilian populations. The NATO intervention ended shortly after Gaddafi's death. The subsequent chaos has been largely of domestic Libyan manufacture, by 2014 escalating sufficiently to deserve the designation of civil war, very broadly between whichever government of the moment was attempting to operate out of Tripoli and whatever forces were being commanded at the time by General Khalifa Haftar, a former Gaddafi loyalist who fell out with his famously irascible boss in the late 1980s and spent many years in exile in the United States. ولا مدخلا لإقامة حكم عسكري فذلك ما نرفضه. Foreign forces are, however, now in play in Libya. Despite the official UN recognition of Fayez Sarraj's government in Tripoli, Khalifa Haftar appears to enjoy the backing of Egypt, France, Russia, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. Certainly, it's difficult to believe that Haftar's recent visit to King Salman of Saudi Arabia was altogether a social call. As things stand, nobody seems too clear on what Haftar wants, which may be exactly what Haftar wants. Some fear that he sees himself as Libya's Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, the disciplinarian military strongman. Others believe, possibly optimistically, that Haftar's current offensive is by way of a job application for chief of the defence force of a unified Libya. As we go to air, Haftar's troops continue their advance towards Tripoli. Some reports have them seizing Tripoli's long-closed international airport, 24 kilometres from the city centre. Earlier this week, an airstrike by Haftar's forces hit Tripoli's only functioning airport at Mitiga. It is possible that some sort of endgame is in play, and therefore that some sort of resolution may be looming. But in the short term, at least, any alleviation of Libya's agonies seems wretchedly unlikely. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.